are listening to Radio Albion. Hello everybody and good evening, and that was White Lives Matter 2026 for our Indigenous Peoples Day event. And I'm joined tonight by the lovely Laura Towler, and we're live tonight on Rumble and Odyssey. Yesterday was the big day and it went very, very well. Please do share the stream. It's live in those two places. We've shared it on the places we can share it. If you can boost that, if you can get more people sharing it, get some eyes on it, we're obviously going to be talking about the demonstration, and we're going to give some thank yous and just go through everything that happened during the day. Also, if you want, we will answer questions at the end, so if anyone would like to send super chats and donate towards our work, you can do that through Rumble. Both myself and Laura will answer questions at the end. We're not expecting this to be sort of like a 3-hour stream or anything, though. Probably about 45 minutes to an hour, a little bit longer if people want to ask us questions. But primarily tonight is to talk about yesterday. And we'll start by throwing it over to Laura. How are you doing, Laura? How are you feeling? Have you recovered?
I'm feeling very good, thank you. Yeah, I felt a little bit ill yesterday. I was talking to you about it on the phone, and just before I was going to give my speech, I started to feel really sick and dizzy. And when we gave our speeches, we were staring directly at the sun, and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to stand up, I'm going to faint. And Mark was like, just get up. And Sam was stood in front of me, like, he kept turning around and looking at me and making sure that I was okay. But I just powered through. And a couple of hours later, I felt absolutely fine. So, yeah, today I'm just recovering, just a bit of a more chilled out day with the kids and with Sam. And, I've actually watched the first video from the demo already. They're done super early this time, and the pictures look amazing. I know Mark's going to show some of them during this stream. But, yeah, it was a really fun day. Just no problems at all, just fantastic people that attended. Got to listen to some really great speeches and network with people, swap details with a lot of people, and it was good. Yeah, big morale boost.
Well, I've got to say, I was really, really happy with yesterday's event. Now, obviously, a lot goes into planning this kind of event. A lot goes into making it happen, pulling it off, making sure everything goes to plan. And you're never quite sure how many people are going to turn up, whether it's going to be a good day. But for me, this ticked all the boxes for a very, very good demo in terms of turnout, in terms of different groups coming together for the event, in terms of the policing, in terms of, you know, the weather, in terms of the atmosphere there, and the fact there was no counter demonstrations. There's a lot to actually talk about. But let's start by giving some thank yous, because I think there's no better way to kick things off than to say thank you to a lot of people who helped to make this happen. So I'm not very good at this, and sometimes I miss people, but I think the first people we've got to thank is obviously everyone who turned up. If you were somebody who made the journey to Tamworth yesterday, I've got to say a huge, huge thank you. It was a really, really fantastic day. And these days wouldn't be the success that they are if people didn't turn up, if people weren't there, and we did have good numbers. There was around 200 people there at any one time, and I would say over the whole event there was many more, because lots of people stopped by to listen to one or two of the speeches, take pictures. I even had people come over to me just as we were getting started saying, could I have a placard to take home from my bedroom wall? And I was like, well, Not unless you stay and hold it up, because we can't just give them out before the demo's even underway. But it was a real success. And that's the biggest thank yous to everyone who made it. These events wouldn't be what they are without people turning up. The next group of people I've got to thank is the speakers. The speakers on the day were excellent. We had speakers from Patriotic Alternative. We had speakers from the local West Midlands Patriot Group. We had speakers from White Vanguard. Have I missed anyone, Laura? Because I'm always really bad at that. I always sort of miss somebody. But there was a lot of speakers. No, and they were all superb.
Five from Patriotic Alternative, the local group, and White Vanguard. That was it, yeah. We did give other groups the opportunity to speak as well, because there were some people from Remigration Now there and some people from British Movement there as well, but they didn't know that was an option, so they hadn't prepared anything. So maybe next time we might have some different groups speaking as well.
Yeah, look, we're really open to that as well. Like, these events aren't just about Patriotic Alternative. They're about bringing everyone together for a big turnout and a big day, because we all want to support this cause. It's a good cause. And to see so many groups there, they're obviously Patriotic Alternative there. We organise the event, but White Vanguard were there. They're always more than welcome. Those lads were absolutely fantastic. And their speaker, a guy called Phoenix, his speech, for me, was the speech I enjoyed most at the day. It was so powerful. And very rarely do I think, oh my God, what am I going to do getting up and speaking after this guy? But his speech was that good. I was like, well, I'm not sure if I can get up after this guy and, raise the roof any more than he did.
It had something very unique about it, because he spoke about his experience of being a liberal and how he woke up. And I always feel like those speeches are very authentic and raw. So when someone does that and they put their heart on the sleeve, and he said to me before that he was really nervous and he'd never done it like that. And I think when you're experiencing someone do their first speech, you can't really compare to that, if that makes sense. Even though you're Mark Collett and, you know, you always give great speeches, you can never sort of like go back to doing your first sort of like raw, unfiltered speech. So it was really good to watch that. I really liked his speech as well.
He was excellent. But so we had with us, obviously, PA, White Vanguard, British Movement, Remigration Now, lads from the Active Club, Active Club England. Have I forgotten anybody? Because I think we've got everyone there.
But if I've,
and West Midlands Patriots. So, So just to go through it again, thank you to obviously Patriotic Alternative, White Vanguard, British Movement, Remigration Now, West Midlands Patriots, Active Club England. It was really, really good. And all the people who turned up, members of the public, everyone, it was really good. And it was good to see that unity. I'd also like to thank our sound guys. We now have this professional PA system there, a proper microphone. We're not screaming through a loud hailer anymore. And it makes for a better event. At the end, everyone was singing Auslander Raus. It was really, really good. You know, we had a little bit of music. It was absolutely superb. And that it sort of raises the professionalism, but it also just makes it a little bit easier for the speakers and for a crowd that size. And it was also very interesting, because there was a lot of people in the square, probably hundreds more, that weren't part of the crowd, that were sat round the square in seating, outside cafes, watching what was going on, weren't officially sort of taking part, but were watching, and they wouldn't have been able to hear if it hadn't been for what was provided in terms of amplification. So thank you to the sound guys. Also, a massive thank you to the media teams who were recording it, taking photos, and also I mean, the photos are fantastic. And once we've done the thank yous and start talking about our thoughts on the day, me and Laura will put up some photos and we'll go through them, and the speeches will be up shortly. So that was really good. And also, I've got to say this as well. I know the demo was against two-tier justice, but the police were excellent. And I'd like to thank them as well. They were really, really good. There was no trouble throughout the day from anyone at the actual demo. Obviously, one guy turned up, some mouthy guy who started kicking off, and the police arrested him. The police were like, look, you've gone too far. You're disrupting it now. we're arresting you. And they did. And it was very, very even-handed. They were very polite. At the end, the people in charge like, shook our hands and were like, thank you so much for, you know, running such an orderly demo. You know, and the regular officers on the beat there sort of waved us off and were like, thank you. It's been the sort of perfect day. Because for them, there's no trouble. No one's screaming and shouting. They're not having to beat people back. There's no mounted officers. There's no riot police. It was very, very orderly. And the police really helped with that. They were very, very good through the planning phases of this. And they made it very easy to make this event a success. Have I missed anyone, Laura? Because I always have a habit of forgetting that one person.
We didn't have official security on the day, did we? But we did have some of our lads who were quite big and quite handy, who were just sort of keeping an eye on everything. And thinking about people like Matt, who's obviously can take care of himself. They just sort of stand at the side and take care of everything. So it's always good to have them there as well. I suppose you could say the YouTubers and that, who are not necessarily 100% on our side, but they definitely amplified that protest to tens of thousands of people.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Charlie Veach turned up. Now, in the past, I've been a little bit critical of him for his pro-Israel stance. And I'm sure that I'm not his favourite person. But when I saw he was there, I approached him. He was very friendly. I shook hands with him. I told him he was welcome. We were actually told before the event that some other people were thinking of coming, more from sort of the Tommy Robinson side of things. And we actually, I'm not going to name names, they didn't end up coming in the end, but I did say they were welcome. And when anyone comes, regardless of what's come before, as long as they're there for the right reasons and being friendly and are at least willing to hear us out and are doing it in good faith, I'm happy to accept them. And Charlie was very nice. I spoke to him. You know, we welcomed him there. I'd have watched his coverage, and it was fair. It was fair. My only slight disappointment with it, Charlie, if you're watching this, which you're probably not because you're a big YouTube and you're on Rumble. And but the only thing I was slightly disappointed about was that he obviously focused on the one guy that was being an idiot that got arrested, the lefty guy, rather than as much on the demo. And I'd rather him at the end have sort of come up to me or Laura and said, how do you think the day went? Which he didn't, but he was still fair in what he did. And he was very pleasant, very nice, very personable. And I made a point of asking him, so where's your security today? And he goes, I don't think I'm going to need it today with you guys. And I was sort of had a bit of a laugh. It was kind of an acknowledgement that, you know, maybe we've got quite a bit in common, because he understands when he's coming to a PA demo, he's going to come here and we're going to be like very friendly and welcoming. And it's not his usual sort of thing where he's facing off against hostile people and needs big guys. It was really good having him there. And it was good having the other YouTubers there. I did sort of two or three little interviews with people. And that's really good as well. It's nice that people come. And again, if you're watching and you are coming in good faith as someone who has a YouTube channel, me and Laura and Sam and the other speakers, usually, I can't speak for them all, but, you know, as a general rule, we're all willing to give you an interview, help you with your YouTube channel, and ensure that you go home with something that you need to help you. And I know that Charlie's video, I think it had about 60,000 views when I saw it last night. Obviously he's gone away, and I think it painted the event in a good light, because there wasn't any trouble. And that's a big thing, isn't it, Laura, that like many nationalist demos do end with some kind of fracas, but this was completely peaceful from our side. And for just one I don't think he was local, he was Scottish, for one idiot to start
drunk as well, wasn't he?
He was
drunk on the video, and he was just like slurring and falling over. And he said that he was like, I'm on the right. He was Scottish. I'm on the right. I just think he should say all lives matter instead of white lives matter. And it eventually he was kicking off so much that the police just took him off. But we don't care about the left. Like, we just see them as freaks. We're not interested in engaging with them or giving them time. You know, we'll stand away from them if possible. If we can't stand away from them, we'll turn around and face the other way, because all they want to do is derail the demonstration and the topic that we're trying to raise awareness about. They want to bury that and the focus just be on them and what freaks they are. So we've always just ignored them. If they do turn up, we always say to people, just ignore them, stay away from them, don't go over. I know some of our guys like to go and, you know, have a bit of a debate with them, and sometimes people come to the demo who are not necessarily with Pierre, who just want to have a scrap with them. But I just think that that lowers us, really, because I just feel like we're better people than that. And the issues that we care about are so much more important than these, this rabble of misfits. So, yeah, no trouble yesterday, and no trouble at any recent demo, to be honest.
And I think that was reflected in the amount of women at the demo. One thing that was really notable was, when I first got involved in nationalism, if you saw sort of a National Front march in the early 2000s, it was mainly a lot of big guys. And if there was the odd woman there, she was there because she was sort of part of the skinhead scene or, you know, directly attached to nationalism. You could tell she was one of those people. But I will say there were some really lovely women there, some of whom came from quite a distance, you know, sort of mother-daughter combos coming down. And it was really nice to see that, because we fostered this atmosphere where women know if they come to a PA event, it's not going to be mounted police. It's not going to be officers in full riot gear. We're not there to bait the left and charge into any opposing groups. We're there for the right reasons. And I think that reflects in the number of females willing to come out. And we've always had a lot of females at PA conferences, and camps, etc., families. And I think that's now sort of spilling over into our demos as well, which was nice. And that was definitely seen in the pub afterwards, because we all went down to the Wetherspoons afterwards, and, you know, everyone piled in there. No trouble, no aggro, no one was drunk, no one was acting the fool. And that's, again, very different to other demonstrations. You know, I've seen footage of demonstrations this year where there are people trying to push past the police are using extendable batons, there's riot vans there, there's people getting arrested, throwing certain, 1930s salutes and things like that, and then they're getting nicked, and we really avoided that. And for me, I enjoyed this demo the most out of any of the ones that we've done this year. So Warwick was very good, that was fantastic, but there was a lot of lefties there. Nuneaton was really, really good as well, but there was that little bit of fracas where that group that weren't actually invited turned up and started doing something they shouldn't and got arrested before the demo had even started. And this event, sort of all the kinks were smoothed out, and it just ran perfectly, and it was really, really good. What do you think, Laura? You talk for a bit, because I'm going to get some of these pictures up on screen. Because let's get these pictures.
Yeah, there were quite a lot of women there, and I liked how they were dressing as well. One of them had a T-shirt on that said, you know, like a dictionary definition, and it was like racist, somebody who wins an argument with a liberal. And then another girl had a T-shirt on, and it said Queen of Remigration. yeah, they all came like dressed for the event, and I was chatting to loads of them. There's me in my sunglasses because it was so sunny. They're the white Vanguard guys.
You've also got a black t-shirt. You actually do look like you're part of them.
Yeah, I'm their only female member, don't you know? But people kept asking me where you can get that t-shirt, by the way. And if you come to our national events, like the camp or the conference, we usually have a couple of t-shirts available there, but we don't sell them publicly. There's you with your finger.
My pokey finger sticking in the air, indeed.
Yes.
By the time I got up, it was quite sort of late into the day, wasn't it? And because obviously I finished it. But the big White Lives Matter banner, when you hear my speech, we had a special message for people about this banner, didn't we, Laura?
Yeah, because when we first started and we were sort of building up the community, we used to do a lot of hiking and banner drops in the countryside. And people, can I spoil your speech? Or shall I?
Yeah, go for it.
People used to always say, like, banner in the middle of nowhere. You wouldn't take that into a town centre. And now it's basically been on a tour of the country. It's been held in front of thousands and thousands of different people. And the point that Mark was making was, like, you said that the public would reject this banner because it uses the word white, but actually here we are standing in front of hundreds of people and they're embracing it and they're cheering. And I tell you what, you sort of, I think as nationalists, we do underestimate the public quite a lot, because the biggest cheers come from them when we say something quite hardcore. So if we mention race, that's when they'll cheer. And I'm not just talking about, you know, other activists. I'm talking about people who were sat in the cafes listening to us. There was a guy on one of the videos I saw on the footage who was at work, and it was obviously his lunch break, and he wandered past the square and he had his belt on with his screwdriver and his tools and his scruffy clothes, and it was covered in paint, and he stopped and he was listening to the speeches and clapping, and then he got on the phone and he was phoning his mates. I don't know what he said, but I'm assuming he was saying, have you seen this? And it's okay to talk about race now. I think we've moved the Overton window so much that white, to many people, the people that matter, isn't a dirty word. And the public are not rejecting it when we talk about race. If anything, they're embracing it. So that was one of the points that Mark made in his speech.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because all that time ago, I remember people saying, like, you know, having little snipes at us and saying, you wouldn't dare get that out in the town centre, would you? Ooh, you're going to do it on top of a mountain again? Well, that banner's been with us since 2020. And I think I was incorrect in my speech. I said 2019, but that was when PA was formed. But it was 2020 when that banner was first deployed. It's been with us now 6 years. And to see that now out in town centres being cheered by the public, it's fantastic. And what's more, we also had several dozen of these placards printed with pictures of Henry Novak on and White Lives Matter. And we handed them out to everybody. I mean, obviously, people brought their own homemade banners, as they always do. There's the BM lads. Their banner was excellent. But, you know, we had these placards.
What are you laughing at there?
What?
What are you laughing at there?
I don't know. He must have said something that amused me. I was doing an interview with a YouTuber there. But these placards went down so well, and people wanted to keep them. And we said at the end, you know, take them away, have them as a souvenir of the day. If you've come out, you know, grab one, take it home. But at the end, when I'd finished my speech, I called everyone together to do a minute silence for Henry Novak behind the big banners. And I said, if everyone's willing to be photographed, and it sort of accumulated in this huge picture, which looks absolutely fantastic, and that's the footage you saw at the beginning. And you've got hundreds of people holding up these placards, massive White Lives Matter banners, flags, you know, nationalist symbols. It was absolutely brilliant, and we did a minute silence there, and then, you know, we finally packed up and went. But it was really good. Ending the day like that, it just looked fantastic, didn't it, Laura? And the sort of, you could see the onlookers were really, you know, people passing by were very respectful. No one disrupted the minute silence. It was a really powerful way to actually end the day.
Yeah, well, we finished on the point of the demo, really, which was to, you know, raise awareness and remember Henry Novak and other victims of anti-white violence. So I was surprised. I know you were, because he said the same thing to me. But when we asked people, do you want to come and stand behind the banners and do the minute silence, 99% of the people who were there came and got behind and wanted to be in the picture. So again,
you know, the only people that didn't were the ones that were taking photos.
I know. Well, I'm not in the picture because I took that video at the start, and I really wanted to be in that picture. That's one for my personal photo album. But I was like, I'll take one for the team and I'll get a good video so we can share it. And that video has been shared by quite a lot of Twitter accounts as well. I know it's up on YouTube. A few people have posted it, and people are really saying, you know, it's fantastic turnout and great optics. And also, like, the White Vanguard lads as well, even though they're sort of like dressed in black with their faces covered, people seem to welcome them as well. Like, they're not put off by them being there. I've met them a few times now, and they're good lads. And the reason that some of them don't show their faces is because of their jobs or their family or they're in education. They want to support the cause, but they can't dox themselves. Maybe one day in the future they'll be able to do that. But they're good lads, you know, they're really polite and their hearts are in the right place and they're clued up on all the issues. So it's good to have a good relationship with them as well. And like I say, the public are not put off by these young lads turning up and masks and stuff.
Do you know what else was really nice as well? There was some ex-Homeland people there. And one thing we've seen throughout this year is a number of people who went to Homeland. And I think Homeland's completely collapsed and effectively shut down now. And because of that, a lot of these people have been coming back to the protests and coming up to me and Laura and saying, hi, it's good, you know, I hope you don't mind them coming back to these protests. Homeland was a massive bust. You know, all the money's disappeared and nothing's happening. And it was nice to see some ex-Homeland people there as well. And again, we are very welcoming to people, regardless of what organisations they've been in or anything that's been said in the past. You know, we are 100% all about making sure that we maximise turnout and that everyone feels welcome at the demos. So, you know, if you're coming and you think to yourself, oh, well, I might have said this about somebody, you know, 5 years ago, or I fell out with this person, or, you know, I used to be with this group. You don't have to think like that. We're not really going to turn anyone away. I mean, obviously there's a couple of notable exceptions, but I don't think the people who stole huge amounts of money from PA are about to sort of start turning up at PA demos. Well, not unless they're bringing a large suitcase of all the money they stole back with them. But, you know, obviously, you know, the rank and file Homeland members, now it's gone, you know, they're more than welcome to attend. And so, you know, so are people from other groups. And that was really nice as well, seeing those guys coming back and seeing people who were in that group come over. You know, it's just a really nice atmosphere. And to round it all out, one thing I'll say about it as well, I've been to demonstrations where you're sort of nervous to walk around in small groups or walk through the town centre. But one of the good things with this, there was none of that, was there? You know, you didn't feel, you know, people were just turning up, you know, husband and wife, mother and daughter, groups of lads. There wasn't the feeling that you were going there and expecting trouble or violence or aggravation. And I think that's something that it felt like a summer's day out, really, more than a demonstration. And the sort of feeling throughout the crowd was one of people making friends, getting to know each other. And it's quite funny because at one time, not only would the White Lives Matter thing probably have been a bit scary to people, but so would have, you know, the young lads wearing the black. But a lot of people were going up to them, shaking their hands, eager to speak to them. And people understand, you know, a lot of our young people, they will get visits from Prevent just for attending a legal demonstration. So people understand that the state are out to get us. And we take precautionary measures, basically. But all in all, the only thing I can think to say, because it's always good to say like what we did wrong as well, but if I was going to say one thing that I would like to do slightly differently, just a few more people, it would be nice, because, you know, these things get seen by so many, tens, hundreds of thousands. You know, it would be nice if we got a few more people actually, you know, getting off the sofa and actually coming out. I mean, I really appreciate the fact people support us and send donations towards it, etc., etc. But if you're one of those people who's on the cusp of should I turn up for my first demo, this was the perfect one, because it was just such a nice day and everything went to plan. And I was speaking to Euro actually as he was driving home, because he had to go all the way back to where he, I'm not going to say where he lives, but it was quite a long drive for him. And he stayed in the pub and he said the atmosphere there was great. You know, people just sat there, you know, having dinner together afterwards. And there's always that social aspect, because, you know, this is a key piece of activism for us. But as with everything, it's all built around community. So, Laura, do you have anything to add? Is there anything else you want to bring up? I think I've touched on everything I've wanted to say.
What would I change from the day? it was too hot. The sun made me feel sick and dizzy. It was, yeah, it was just shining right on us as we were speaking, but obviously we can't do anything about that. I remember you phoning me up the day before saying, do we need more placards? Because I've only got 50. And I'm like, well, even 50 placards is going to look good. But I think there were many more people there to hand placards out to, because people were coming over to me saying, have you got one? And I was like, I've done them all. So maybe more placards next time. But that's just me being very, very, very picky. There's not really anything I can think of to change. It was a great day. Lots of women there as well. That I usually get the women in attendance, or some of the women in attendance talking to me, I think, because I'm a woman and I'm involved in nationalism. And, you know, it's always good to swap numbers with people, get people's email addresses, and people saying, oh, I've had this problem, can I email you about it? There was a lady who was talking to me about she'd been contacted by social services because of her politics. And I was like, right, I've been through this 3 times. Send me an email, we'll go through it. So yeah, just chatting to everyone. And, you know, these people that we'll see at other demos now, and there were some people saying, I'm going to come to the camp next year, I'm going to bring my kids. And yeah, it's just nice to meet other good people.
It certainly is. We've got one super chat tonight, that's all. But if anyone wants to super chat and ask a question, we're happy to answer it. This is a big question though, so it'll probably take us about 10 minutes or so to answer this, because I'm sure Laura will want to say something about this as well. It's from Reactionary Traditionalist, who gave $5. Thank you so much. He said, in your We Were Never Asked documentary/survey, 75% of people surveyed said that they think it's bad for white Britons to become a minority in Britain. So why do they keep voting for the same old parties? Well, I'll start and I'll say this. We surveyed primarily, overwhelmingly, like 99% of the people we surveyed were white people. We weren't out there looking to speak to ethnic minorities. It was a survey of white Britons to find out what they thought. And I think we surveyed, what was it? Was it, how many did we survey? I think it was about 4,000 people, wasn't it? It was lot of people.
It's been about 7 years. It was a couple thousand, wasn't it? A few thousand.
I think it was 4,000. I think, remember seeing it was it just totaled. I think it just totaled over 4,000, so 4,100 and something. But anyway, you know, the vast majority of those were white Britons, and you're saying, why do people not vote against this? Well, there's two things you've got to consider. This is a bit of a black pill. The first is that 30% of the population are now of migrant descent. Now, some of them may be white, they might be white Europeans, but many of them are immigrants from the developing world or the third world, non-European immigration. And non-European immigration now outstrips European migration. And last year specifically, European net EU migration into Britain was negative. So Europeans were leaving Britain in greater numbers than they were arriving in Britain last year. So you've got to take that into account. 30% of the population aren't going to be voting for remigration or extensive border control as a rule. You will get the odd outlier who will, but overwhelmingly those people aren't going to be voting for it. Now, the other thing that probably skewed this is many of the areas where we did the surveys, probably areas where PA was strong. I mean, we surveyed people in London, in the West Midlands, in the East Midlands, in Yorkshire, in the North West, and we got a range of different sort of locales and different sort of socioeconomic groups. But when people vote, they don't just vote on that issue. The problem is we live under a first past the post system, and under first past the post, people tend to vote for the party they think is the lesser of two evils. So the party they think is most likely to beat the party they don't want to win. And because of that, you get a lot of people voting for parties that they really shouldn't, But there is something else as well. A lot of British people, as time goes by, feel hesitant. So I said this the other night on my stream, and I gave a really long answer about this. I would say there is a growing, radical, racinated minority of around 10% of people. So around 10% of the British public are now aware of race, want migration to stop, want to send migrants back, and are aware that there is a racial and ethnic problem in Britain. That number is growing. But equally, as that grows, and as more migrants come to Britain, more families are touched by migration. There are now more people than ever before in mixed race relationships. There are more people than ever before who have a mixed race or in some way, you know, a grandchild who has some blood that is foreign. And because of this, what you tend to find is that some people who at one time or another, and probably still in their heart, think they don't want Britain to be as multiracial as it is. And I've said this many times on stream, they feel that they couldn't vote for a remigration party. And unfortunately, a lot of white Britons acknowledge that white people becoming a minority is a bad thing. But unfortunately, they're more concerned about hurting the feelings of their non-white friend than they are about the survival of their race. So they openly acknowledge this is bad, it's not going to end well, there's two-tier policing, white people are being treated as the whipping boys, we're worse off than second-class citizens, but I couldn't go and vote for this racist party or join this racist group, because if I do, how could I explain it to my black co-worker, or to my sister's boyfriend, or to my grandchild? And there is this now powerful emotional pressure. And white people are very empathetic. They're very polite. They try to be very reasonable. And sometimes that is to our detriment. Now, in a homogenous, closed society, being reasonable, being polite, considering other people's feelings, and always trying to sort of generally keep the peace and rub along with each other is a good thing in a racially homogenous, high IQ or high trust society. That's how it works. That's how people get on. Now, the problem is, though, when you bring migrants into a homogenous society, a high trust, high IQ, homogenous society, and our value system is then applied to them, and I would say it's misapplied to them, that basically means our empathy that we would have for other people within our community who were once all of our own racial group is now applied incorrectly to racial foreigners who are replacing us. And I think all of these pressures, unfortunately, prevent many people who do understand that something's wrong from actually acting and doing something and trying to make a change. It's a very complex thing. Now, I've been speaking for about 7 or 8 minutes, and I can tell you, I could bring up facts, I could bring up figures to back up everything I've said, and we could talk about this for, you know, all night. I mean, another thing I've got to say, and this isn't to have a go at any particular group, and it's certainly not to have a go at the boomers or anything like that, but a lot of older people absolutely despise what's happened to this country. But at the same time, when they vote for stability. They vote for the triple lock pension. They vote to ensure the economy doesn't take a hit. They vote to ensure that a party gets in that's going to be kinder when it comes to end of life care costs or medical provisions for older people. And parties like Reform or Restore, they are very, very centred on immigration. They're very centred on issues to do with, say, freedom of speech, digital ID. And unfortunately, these pensioners, they want this stability. They know what's going on is wrong. But when Labour are standing there and the Tories are standing there and they're both saying at exactly the same time, look, guys, if you vote for reform or restore, you could ruin your pensions. Your house price could end up dropping. What would you do if one of them privatises the NHS? And this does spook older people. And this specifically was revealed in one of the recent French elections, where Marine Le Pen's party polled amongst white people, the least likely to vote for Marine Le Pen's party were pensioners, despite pensioners agreeing with what she said. And the reason they wouldn't vote for her is because they feared the instability it might bring if she won, more than they feared becoming a minority, because they acknowledge they haven't got long left and they don't want to live their last few years freezing to death without any medical care. So it's a very, very complex series of issues. And really, for a $5 super chat, I think I've answered that very comprehensively. I'm sure Laura will as well, because I may have missed something. But when you look at this, it explains that despite the British people always consistently and overwhelmingly being against immigration, because of the way the voting system is, because of people's fears over instability, and unfortunately, because of our empathy towards migrants, despite people wanting change, they're hesitant to vote for it.
I just start falling asleep when people start talking about electoral politics. I don't have anything to add other than I think if you gave a referendum on immigration to the British public, I think that they'd vote agreeing with us. I think they'd vote against mass immigration. But obviously when you're looking at parties, there's so many issues and there's so many ways to vote and the system and everything. So I agree with what Marcus said. But I do think if you simplified, this is why we've never had the choice to vote on immigration. I think we would win if you could just vote on that one issue, like Brexit.
And look, Laura's made a very good point that I actually missed, and that is people overwhelmingly vote Labour or Tory. That's a fact. Both Labour and the Tories were pro-Remain. But when people got a once-in-a-lifetime chance to vote on policy, they voted against the main two parties. And really, that's that point that Laura's made is so brilliant, and it underlines everything I've said. But Laura's point basically explains, in a nutshell, how many people are divorced from the reality of what the parties they're voting for actually think themselves. So people obviously vote Labour and Tory, but when they get a chance to vote on policy, they vote against the parties they're voting for. And all these things sound insane, and they all sound like they don't make sense. Like, why would you vote for a party that wants to remain when you vote Leave? Why would you do that? Why would you vote Tory or Labour if you are a Leave voter? But clearly millions did. And this tells you something. This system, this democracy, it's an illusion. It's not about representative democracy. It's about holding people and keeping them on the reservation. And yeah, Laura's point, excellent, and a really, really good real-world example of how people don't actually vote for the things they want. Hazelnut3000 gave $15, thank you so much, and said it was such a good day, the demo and social, donation to replenish the coffers. Well, thank you so much. I saw you at the demo. I was looking for you, actually, before I left. I wandered around Wetherspoons, and I thought you'd gone, but it was lovely seeing you, and thank you so much for coming. It's always a joy to see you and spend some time with you. Thank you. Don't mind me, 91, gave $50, thank you so much, and said, donation towards the travel costs. Well, thank you very much. Olive Zuma gave $5, thank you so much, and he said, I know your opinion on Rupert Loan Restore. However, it has been good recently, him addressing the demographic issue and Charlie Downs talking about that lobby group that no one dares to criticise. Look, I want to make this clear. When Restore Britain initially set up as a pressure group, a lobbying group, and a group that was going to initiate important reports into things like the grooming gangs, into things like where money was being misappropriated, I was all for it. And I think the things Rupert Lowe and Charlie Down says are excellent. My only big... Well, I've got two big problems. Firstly, they do split the vote, and Rupert Lowe's now accepted that because he said to Nigel Farage, we're just splitting the vote here, we need to sort this out. So that's the first thing. And secondly, my other slight issue with Rupert Lowe is he is good in interviews with the press, but every time he sits in a room with a Jew, and the Jew says, what do you think of ethno-nationalism? He starts creeping and grovelling and saying how he despises ethno-nationalists and we're all like the scum of the earth. And I don't know why he does that. Why can he say to a BBC interviewer, I don't care, forget with the silly questions. But then he sat with Eric or Brett Weinstein and he's grovelling. You know, do you understand that, Laura? Why does he grovel to the Weinsteins and when he shouldn't?
Well, interesting question, but I think someone just needs to say to him, look, if you think that British people exist as a distinct group of people, and if you think that they should be the overwhelming majority in Britain, then you're an ethno-nationalist, because that's all nationalism. I actually don't like the word ethno-nationalism. I think we should just say nationalism. But that's what you are. So why are you counter-signalling people who would... like? Who do you actually think your audience is? It's not soft, sort of Sivnat, sort of... oh, you know, as long as they come here, like, your audience are the ones that are more hardcore than what Nigel Farage is saying. So your audience, many of your audience are nationalists, ethno-nationalists, whatever you want to say. So, and his tweets, like, I'm not on Twitter now, so I miss a lot of it, but tweets that I've seen of his, he's an ethno-nationalist, so why is he counter-signaling?
Well, I've got, sorry to butt in.
Okay.
He doesn't actually control his Twitter account.
I've heard that.
He has a guy that does it all for him, who tweets out what the Twitter crowd love, and apparently it isn't Rupert himself, so that's a bit disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, if he's agreeing with the tweets, he's not deleting them, is he? Does he look at his Twitter? I don't know. No. If he's agreeing with them, then that's all ethno-nationalism is. It's nothing scary. Does it mean we're going to start, you know, doing DNA tests on everyone and push everyone into the sea who's 1% non-white? It's just, we're a people, we exist, this is our homeland. Lots of people have got to go because we're becoming a minority. That's all it is.
And I'll say this as well, Laura. Charlie Downs is fantastic. Like, Charlie Downs talking about the Israeli lobby, Charlie Downs talking about people with special ethnic interests in the Middle East. I've got no problem with Charlie Downs. I don't think I've ever said a bad word about him. You know, obviously, I don't think he's about to come on my show. But if he did, I'd welcome him. I don't think he's about to turn up at our demos. But if he wanted to, we'd welcome him. Charlie Downs is great. I've never said a word against him. As I said, my only two beefs with Restore is, one is tactical, and I've been proved right about that. And the other is that when Rupert is pressed, specifically by, you know, some horrible huckster like one of the Weinsteins, he will grovel and say that he despises ethno-nationalism and it's ugly, etc., which it isn't. Ethno-nationalism is beautiful. Loving your own people and ensuring your people exist is noble, beautiful, righteous. It's what this weekend was about. You've got to remember, today is Indigenous Peoples Day. And Patriotic Alternative are the only group in Britain to have ever done and to consistently do activities on the weekend of Indigenous Peoples Day to celebrate white Britons. The fact we're the only ones doing it tells you something. First, we're pretty gutsy. And secondly, it's a shame that Rupert Lowe hasn't said today's Indigenous Peoples Day, you know, let's celebrate the English, Scots and Welsh. You know, obviously there's also people in Northern Ireland, etc. I'm talking about mainland Britain, but, you know, or Great Britain as it officially is on a map. But that's, you know, that tells you who we are and what we believe. But unfortunately, you know, like when Rupert Lowe says bad things about ethno-nationalists, I don't understand that. Like Laura says, we're his core audience, and not only are we his core audience, but there's no, you know, if you're not an ethno-nationalist, why do you want to deport all these people? You know, you want to deport these people because you don't want us to become a minority. That makes you an ethno-nationalist.
Has he ever been asked if he agrees with ethno-nationalism for the Jews?
I don't know, and that would be very interesting. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. So I couldn't say.
Okay.
So, can't oust the Faust gave $25. Thank you so much. Said, well done, guys. Great speech. This is my first PA demo. Looking forward to the next. Well, thank you so much. DJ Triumph gave $5. Thank you very much. And said, evening, Mark and Laura. Are you still going to review Apocalypse Now with Thomas Sewell, or is Tom too tied up with legal stuff? We will whenever Tom is ready to do Apocalypse Now, it'll probably be September now, because we're going to do the Odyssey this month. But absolutely, 100%, we would do that. Laura, would you come on the stream and do Apocalypse Now with Tom Sewell?
It's one of my favourite films. I'd love to.
we will do it. Tom, where are you at, mate? Let's get it done. And finally, Mr. Smalls gave $5. Thank you very much. And said, here's a fiver before it falls out of my pocket and goes to waste. Well, look, thank you so much, my friend. It's very kind of you. I think it's been a really good, powerful stream tonight. And I sometimes miss doing these streams with you, Laura, because, like, at one time we used to do these sort of, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think maybe once a month, even if there isn't a big demo or something, we should do sort of, like, ask Mark and Laura and just do a stream where you don't have to super chat, but you can ask us anything and we just do news. What do you reckon?
Well, we used to do a monthly update for Patriotic Alternative, but it sort of got a little bit repetitive because we'd come on the stream and we'd be like, this month we've done this, 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 and this. And it was just like reading out a list. And it started to get a little bit repetitive. And I think obviously me and Mark have got young children. I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Mark's got 7 now and 1.
7 and 1, yeah.
So like bedtime, like stream time for me, sometimes a little bit awkward. And but now I'm starting to get into a more of a routine with my kids. I go to sleep about 7 o'clock, so at 8 o'clock's a good time for me to stream, really. So I like to do it because I feel like we've got good dynamic, and obviously, you know, representing Patriotic Alternative, it's good to share our thoughts on what's going on in the country and internal stuff as well, you know, what our plans are and what we've been up to and things like that.
Yeah, and I want to underscore what Laura said. So I just want to give you a couple of facts, which are very important. On the PA website, over the last couple of weeks, and this is, so we're in August now, but in July, we've got this. This is the activism on the front page of our website in July. And not all the activism goes on the website, by the way, but PA Summer Solstice, PA Activists Visit Germany, PA Scotland Demo, PA Scotland Community March, Gloucestershire Activists Social Event, another PA Demo in Scotland, another PA Demo in Scotland, Shrewsbury Fair Social Event, PA Eastern Regular Fitness Events, South East Banner Drop with Remigration Now. Now, that is one of those. And that's not all. Not every piece of activism goes on the website.
That's just the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, that's the last couple of weeks of activism. Now, the issue is this. When we used to do the PA update, it got boring because it was kind of like, well, this month we did 5 litter picks. Last month we did 4. This month we did 1 banner drop, down from 2 last month. And really, we just kept going round and round and round. And it kind of run out of steam. And I think the thing is, we've sort of limited now the PA updates to big things like a massive demo or this is a huge thing that PA is doing, because everything runs its course. But one thing that doesn't run its course is political commentary. So I would definitely, I think me and Laura will have to do, like, when we're not doing something like this, maybe once a month, do a, you know, Friday night, 8 p.m. to sort of 9:30, sort of Ask Mark and Laura, where me and Laura, you know, speak to you guys directly. And I've said this as well. People have been very, very generous to me over the last couple of weeks with donations. And if people are generous, I always do a free Q&A on a Friday night stream. You know, if that's the least I can do to say thank you to the community. And if me and Laura commit once a month to doing, you know, a paid questions first and then free questions up until a reasonable point in time, If you guys want that, we would happily do that, because we love chatting to you and we love answering questions. And at one point, me and Laura were always talking politics together, but obviously life gets in the way and two children each. It's difficult. It's really difficult. Anyway, yeah. We've got one last super chat from Sir Transalot. Thank you so much. He said, as a local, he gave $14. Thank you so much. He said, as a local, I want to thank you very much for coming to Tamworth. We are a market town and the several cities surrounding us, it does not go unnoticed. 14. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being there. And that brings us to the end of the stream. Laura, before I close it down, I'll let you have the final word, as you are the lady.
Just want to say thank you to everyone who came yesterday and made it such a great event and a great piece of activism. And I am now going to watch The Boys. Me and Sam are watching The Boys. We're about to start season 2. Mark said I'm going to be disappointed with how it ends, but I liked season 1. It was good. So yeah, we're gonna go get my pajamas on and watch The Boys, and keep an eye out this week, because I've already seen the first speech. It's finished. It's really good. It's actually my speech, so I don't mean the speech is really good. I mean the video is really good. You know, they've added loads of extra footage in there and stuff as well. On Tuesday, when I have some free time, I'll get a write up on the website, and I'll get all the pictures up on the website as well, so you can go see them. And if you didn't come yesterday, come to the next one. You know, we've got young girls who come by themselves. We've got families who come and bring their kids. They're really good events, you know, really good to network, a big morale booster as well. You know, the regional chats are still buzzing today, everyone talking about it and stuff. So, yeah, come to the next one and we'd love to meet you. Enjoy what's left of your weekend, and I'll see you all again soon. And also come to the conference as well. We've got the conference coming up soon.
October the 10th for that. So yes, thank you so much. And I'd like to thank lovely Laura for joining me tonight. And again, thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. From the bottom of my heart, I can't thank you enough. And finally, I just want to give you a massive thank you to everyone who did come to Tamworth. One of the best demos we've ever done. For me, it was a demo I've personally enjoyed the most this year. There's been 4 big demos: Nuneaton, Warwick, when we went and leafed the UTK event, and now this. This for me has been I've the one I enjoyed the most. Actually, it was the least stress as well, which is probably why another reason I liked the most. But it's absolutely brilliant. So a huge thank you to everyone. You know, this community is amazing. And the fact that we've been doing this since 2019 and we're still knocking it out of the park in 2026 says a lot. That big banner, it's been with us for a long time. It's going to be with us a lot longer. Thank you, everybody. I love you all. Thank you. Good night. And I'll see you all again soon.